Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Attention campers! The new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to camp with Snoopy, Charlie Brown, and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. Now for a limited time, get junior tickets for just $29.99 during the Kids Adventure Sale. Kings Island, for the fun of it.
Ah, the sweet sound of sports you love from Sling. The collide of football pads. The squeak of shoes on a basketball court. The crack of the bat on a home run. The slice of skates cutting across the ice. But what about this one? That's the sound of all the sports you love, all at once. Starting at $40 a month. Experience it all live with Sling. Sling.
Te presentamos a Laura. Laura tiene muchos roles en su familia.
Mamá, esposa, maestra.
Y para prepararse para todos esos roles, Laura va a su Walmart.
Chofer, nutricionista, especialista en logística.
Ahí consigue vitaminas y medicinas para toda la familia.
Enfermera, doctora, paramédico.
Y ya que está ahí, también compra todos los ingredientes para la cena.
Chef personal, pastelera, malabarista.
Walmart tiene medicinas para la salud y bienestar de toda tu familia a precios bajos.
Consentidora, consejera, actriz de voz.
Bienvenido
contable.
A tu tienda para todo. Bienvenido a tu Walmart.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Looking for a fun way to win 25 times your money this football and basketball season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of stats, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and injury insurance on your picks are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million players who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/play100 and use code play100. That's code play100 at prizepicks.com/play100 for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
Looking for a fun way to win up to 25 times your money this basketball season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of stats, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and injury insurance on your picks are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million players who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/get100 and use code GET100. That's code GET100 at prizepicks.com/get100 for a first deposit matchup to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
Hello, this is international football commentator Derek Ray, and you're listening to the Ranks FC podcast.
Hi Hello, Rank Squad, and welcome to Ranks FC. This is your favourite football podcast. Back for another week. My name is Jack Collins, and I will be your host today. And joining me, as ever, is the Rank God, Mr. Samtai. How you doing, mate?
Hello, mate. Yes, I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, thank you. Not too bad. Another manic week of football for us to get our teeth into. We'll look at the weekend, of course. This week is Champions League, Europa League. It just doesn't feel like it's stopping as we build up to the World Cup, does it? And our transfer guru, Mr. Dean Jones. How you doing, mate?
Hello, mate. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. There's a lot of football at the moment. It's great, isn't it? Like, there's barely a day when there's no football at the moment, and that's just across the board, whether it's like, you know, MLS is hitting peak time now, we're down to the last four, Premier League, like, ridiculous, Champions League, well, we had a brief break from it last week, but we're straight back in this week.
Yeah, but in the break last week, we had a full slate of Premier League.
And a load of Coppa Italia, the FB Pokal. It's been great. I've enjoyed myself.
It's a good warm-up for the World Cup, I think. Four games a day, you're going to need to get the stamina in for ready for that.
Yeah, it's like pre-season for the World Cup. I'm quite enjoying it myself. Right, today we're going to be talking about Golden Boys, one of our favourite episodes, a staple of the Ranks calendar. We're going to be talking about the best young players in the world. But before we do that, we have things we love. And DJ, you're going to start us off.
Yeah, I mean, talking of the World Cup there, I am genuinely getting very excited now about the World Cup. It's 25 days away. 25 days until the World Cup, and like, people aren't really talking about it because there's so much other stuff going on, but this is going to be an unbelievable tournament. 32 team World Cup in Qatar. Nobody knows what to expect here. Like, you think that the start to the Premier League season particularly has been a bit chaos, and like, things just haven't gone the way that you would. I say just the Premier League, it's not the Premier League just at all, is it? All over Europe at the moment, tables are all over the place. Players are not producing the type of form you would expect. There's a few injuries creeping in, and we're going into a World Cup that really does look pretty open. And I think that it's going to be really exciting. Look, obviously, we're doing some work at the moment for a client, and we're starting to write scripts about all of the different teams that we're going to record in a couple of weeks' time. And that's what's actually really got me excited about this. This morning, I wrote two previews. One was Serbia and one was Qatar. And those two teams, obviously Serbia I knew a bit about because of Mitro and the way that they qualified and stuff by beating Portugal. But even just finding out a bit more of them, you're like, Serbia are good. Serbia are going to be good at this World Cup. They're going to be a proper entertaining team that could genuinely go like quarterfinals, maybe even beyond if things went their way. And Qatar, anyone I speak to, they look at like the World Cup schedule and they're like, oh yeah, it starts a bit early now, doesn't it? That first game, Qatar-Ecuador, well, I'll probably give that one a miss. No, you won't. Nobody is going to give that game a miss because it is the World Cup opener, and Qatar are actually quite good. Like, yeah. they're not like, this is their first ever World Cup and they've spent 12 years preparing for it. That's when they were made the host nation. So they've basically played, I don't know, 462 friendlies in 12 years. And they've played in like the Gold Cup, the Asian Cup, Copa America. They've basically played every tournament around the world in the last 12 years to try and get ready for this. They had the Aspire Academy and all the rest of it. And I think they actually might be quite good. So it's going to be great, lads. As an England fan, I don't know what to expect, but as a football fan, I know it's going to be wicked.
Yeah, I mean, this seems like a good time to talk about what we're going to do for it. So yeah. We should probably kind of highlight this because we're obviously going to be doing these main podcasts throughout the tournament. They might shift a little bit here and there just in terms of making them all add up to where the group stages drop and the like. But ultimately, we're going to be doing one of these a week as usual. But over on our Patreon, we're going to be doing a drop every single match day, shorter, sharper drops that talk about all the games across every single day of the tournament. It's going to be lots of fun. It's going to be lots of work, I imagine. But it's going to be a whole heap of fun. We're going to be talking the tactical trends, the players shining, all the different bits and bobs that you'd expect from the World Cup. We're going to be doing two big World Cup preview shows in the week beforehand as well. That'll be here on the main feed. But just a shout that we'd love you to come over and join us on Patreon, even if it is just for this World Cup month, to stay abreast of all of the developments. We're going to be talking about every team. And in the build up to it as well, we're going to be doing some focuses, some deep dives on the big nations, the contenders at the top of this tournament, to give you the real insight into what to expect from those teams. So yeah, there's a link in the description. We'd love you to come and join us over on Patreon for the World Cup. We think it's going to be a wonderful place, a wonderful community. Obviously the Discord's there. There's going to be a load of chat going on throughout the tournament on there. It's a very, very lively place these days. So yeah, I just wanted to encourage people that if you're looking for a place to have all of your World Cup content in one go, come and have a look over on the Ranks Patreon, because it's going to be pretty special over there, I think, during this month of fixtures.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I mean, as you say, like, we'll bounce off each night's the last game. We'll get on the mics and we'll see. We'll go over what we've just seen and quickly preview to what's to come, I'm sure. But it's relentless. I mean, as I say, like, the first game, we'll even do one for that, won't we? Qatar, Ecuador. Like, it's a 4 o'clock kickoff in England. It's a day of its own, and we will definitely review opening night. And probably throw it forward to the next day, which is when it really, really gets going, because obviously England play that day. USA play two against Wales. And then we got the bonus of Senegal v Netherlands as well in between. So, like, that weekend,
a pure crackerjack of a day.
Yeah, do you know what? Taylor actually had something scheduled. She put something in, like, the diary for, like, November 21st. I was like, I just deleted it from the diary. It was like we were supposed to be seeing some friends for, I think it was a walk or something. I was like, oh, going for a walk. And then I went through and added, just put World Cup November 20th to December 18th. See you on December 19th.
Block out the calendars. Nothing is happening on those weeks, boys.
I wish three leagues in particular in this world the best of luck for that weekend, because while almost every division in the world has sort of drawn to a close for the World Cup, a couple of them are outliers, the Red Bulls. And they've decided to either play through the World Cup or at least through the group stage. So the Swiss Super League, good luck. The Croatian First Division, no one's going to be watching that, not even the Croatians. And the Segunda in Spain, best of luck with that one. The Chinese Super League carries on. They might get a few there. You never know. Don't know exactly what the global appetite is, but some of the rebel nations are actually still continuing with domestic football through
and
this
England.
Calendar.
And England. I don't You've got think. Yeah, League One and League Two.
WSL carries on, so we try to keep
and
an eye on that.
The Championship kicks back in.
I was actually really upset about
the knockouts,
this.
I think
here's one for you. I was genuinely upset about this because Fulham women's team are playing their first game at Craven Cottage, and I was like, "Oh, what an amazing occasion that will be! I'll definitely get down to that." It's the first day of the World Cup.
Is it?
Oh, come on!
I was like, "Well, I can't go to that now." I was really upset.
The Qatar Ecuador game?
Yeah. So I can't be going now, which is truly upsetting. I really wanted to go and see the Fulham women's team at Craven Cottage.
That might
be an
oversight.
Amazing occasion.
Send them an email. Say,
well, no, apparently it's because Chelsea are playing on the Saturday at Stamford Bridge, so we can't play then.
So, on the Thursday.
Well, there we have it. We can't do it. So it's a huge mistake, or at least a bit of a sad one, but I would have loved to have gone to that. So here we are. Right, before we move on to our main ranking, I want to talk very briefly about Lazio, because I think they are flying under the radar a little bit. They're currently third in Serie A. They beat Atalanta at the weekend 2-0 in Bergamo and jumped ahead of them in the table. Sarri's Lazio are playing some really, really nice stuff. Not only that, they haven't conceded in six league games. Now, if you'd looked at this Lazio side before the season began and gone, right, you've obviously lost a centre-back in Felipe Luis. How is this going to pan out? We saw them sign Alessio Romagnoli, who's had some severe injury issues, should we say, down the line. They signed Nicolo Casale from Hellas Verona. And there were question marks, I think, about this side. Sarri has finally put his stamp on it. They have gone to his favoured 4-3-3. They haven't conceded a goal since September the 3rd, when they conceded two against Napoli. And then this weekend, there were big questions, obviously going to Atalanta, who've been in flying form. This was their first league defeat of the season. Lazio going into this game without Ciro Immobile, who's obviously got an injury. Felipe Anderson played through the middle. Shades, I think, and James Horncastle spoke about this on The Athletic. He said, shades of when Dries Mertens stepped in for Napoli and then went under Sarri and went on to become the club's all-time leading goal scorer. And I don't think Felipe Anderson is going to achieve those kind of heights playing as the number nine for Lazio. But it was interesting to see him play in the middle, and they absolutely tore Atalanta apart. Just couldn't cope with their movement, couldn't cope with the verticality of the attacks. Lazzari has just turned into a right back. Obviously, we saw him move into that wing back role under Inzaghi, and he was good at it, but there were questions over his kind of defensive acumen. He's now playing as a straight right back, and he's doing really, really well. This front three of Zaccagni, Anderson and Pedro was a nightmare. Atalanta couldn't get near them. Gasperini afterwards said something like, we were 2-3 meters off all of their players at any given time, which is pretty high praise from a man who is a big fan of movement and trying to get players into the right spaces. But yeah, Lazio just flying under the radar a little bit, I think. And Sarri has them playing some really, really nice football. They're cooking quite nicely. So just a word on Lazio. It's been lots of fun in Serie A. We've spent a lot of time talking about Napoli. We've spent a lot of time talking about Inter and Juventus and their struggles and their redemptions, potentially. We've spent a lot of time talking about AC Milan. And Lazio are just quietly going about their business and playing really well. So, yeah, I just thought I'd highlight that in this segment because I do love Maurizio Sarri. And it's nice to see a team playing Sarismo again, Sariball.
Yeah, and also, just when you touched on Inter struggles there, Inter with 3 wins in a row coming out of that break, and obviously getting it done against Barcelona as well, looking really good for the Champions League. And obviously, we'll see how that pans out over the course of midweek. But we've got some nice redemptive stories here happening over in Serie A. It is still probably the most fun league.
Yeah, definitely. And some players playing some really nice stuff. Sergej Milinkovic Savic, absolutely balling out at the moment.
Oh, God, he's been so good.
He's been sublime. So good. Ciro Immobile, I think, said the other week, he said, Milinkovic Savic is playing on Kevin De Bruyne's level right now. He just creates magic. Now, while that might be a slight stretch, I can see where he's coming from, given the performances that SMS has been dropping. And as you were saying, Dean, earlier about Serbia in the World Cup, they'll be delighted to see this because another one of their key men having an absolute stormer before this tournament begins.
They'd be absolutely spraying it around, mate. Ping it out wide, fullback picks it up, Kostic pings it onto the head of Mitro, 1-0. Off you go.
Serbia are winning the World Cup. That's where we're at. Big hot takes on this week's Ranks FC, throwing it back to them BR football days. Okay, with that, we are going to move on to our main segment after the break.
Looking for a fun way to win 25 times your money this football and basketball season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of stats, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and injury insurance on your picks are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million players who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/play100 and use code play100. That's code play100 at prizepicks.com/play100 for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
Welcome back to Ranks FC. It's time for our main ranking. Sam, the floor is yours.
Yeah, so this week we are going to talk about Golden Boys. And obviously over the weekend we saw Gavi crowned as Golden Boy. Makes sense, I guess, given he won the Copa Trophy at the Ballon d'Or ceremony. So there's some consistency there. And we did talk about that, didn't we, last week, last Wednesday, just the validity of that and that discussion around who the best youngsters were. But what we'll do is we'll follow suit from last week as well. We'll use the Golden Boy Award as a bit of a topical crutch. And in the week that the 2022 winner has been announced, I think we should look forward and take a look at the possibilities for 2023. So what I've done is I've taken that final list of 20 names on the Golden Boy list. Originally there was 100, they shortened it down to 20 and then crown a winner.
100 always feels a bit extreme, doesn't it?
I don't really, I think they may have to make the last three up. They're just
we're dealing on it.
Yeah, they're just football manager new gens. But they shorten it down to 20 and then they name a winner. I've taken a look at that list of 20 and I've picked out 5 names that were not on it. They didn't make the cut, the final shortlist for this year, but I think will make the top 20 and possibly even the top 5 or 10 next year. So we're projecting and we're taking a look.
Well done, Sam. Good topic. Like this a lot.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's an exercise in picking out, you know, and talking about Wonder Kids, but with your standard ranks, rules and regulations applied, which is very, it's very me. Very, very me. But anyway, I put together a ranking and the ranking is kind of based on, I'd say, the strength of their claim I imagine they'll have for the trophy next year. And we'll start at number 5. And this is where I have put Romeo Lavia of Southampton. Mm. I was waiting for gasps. Mm. Where were they?
No, not getting a gasp. You know, I've read too much about, you know, a £50 million bid from Chelsea, remember? So like...
I don't know exactly how accurate that was. But yeah. Lavia, with a handful of minutes in a cup game against City and then 5 starts and 420 minutes for Southampton, it's all I need. I've seen enough, guys. He is absolutely amazing. And since he hurt himself against Chelsea, having scored an absolute banger, Southampton have really, really missed him. And you know, he only joined in the summer from City. They've got a buyback clause, which is wise. There have been those suggestions of Chelsea on the trail. I mean, look, I'm trying not to go overboard, but when you see talent and you recognise it. And everybody's obsessed nowadays with finding that next, you know, press-resistant, deep-lying midfielder with a great passing range, but an ability to punch the passes through the lines as well. The way he can weasel his way out of pretty much any pressing trap and then strike the ball so sweetly. He's really, really good. And I've had some assurances on this one. You know, I'm not getting too carried away because Roberto Martinez was going to call him up for the Belgium squad in September, but he got injured. Yeah, he was pretty close to that senior look. And unfortunately, that injury has halted his development a little bit. It's unfortunately stopped him from gaining steam. But he's not that far off a return. And even if we don't quite see it before the World Cup, I'd imagine starting 2023, he just picks that baton back up and suddenly Southampton will look so much better. And it will not be a coincidence. They've got a bit of an unhealthy reliance on him already after 5 games.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? You're looking at this and thinking, how are teams starting to rely on youth? And this is the standout thing for me, because if you are looking at this and Hasan Hüttl is looking at Romeo Lavia and thinking, right, well, he's the anchor of my midfield and without it, it's a lot worse. That's already a massive tick in the box, isn't it? Because you're looking at this and thinking, yeah, I mean, if that's the case. The only thing I would say here, Sam, is that looking through this list, there's not many players on here, this 20, who don't play for what I would determine as a super club. Now, Willie Nonso's got in there. He was at Zurich. He's now at Leeds. Destiny Adogi has signed for Tottenham, but is back at Udinese. But there isn't huge amounts. Karim Adeyemi was obviously at Salzburg, but is now at Dortmund. You know, these are mostly made up of youngsters in the really big guns. And I wonder if that's the only thing that will be held against Lavia.
It could be. Of course, you have to understand that you never know what will happen next summer. Sad as it is for Southampton fans to hear, but he is really, really, really good. So you never quite know what happens. Adeyemi's only done, 3 months as a Dortmund player, hasn't even done that much, and he managed to make the list. So if he does get that move, that only strengthens the claim. But if he starts to get that Belgium senior recognition, that changes things as well, I think. He gets that validation. He doesn't need it. He's unreal. And if he can string together, you know, 20 games in 2023, the back half of Southampton season, I think more and more people will quickly realise just how good he is.
Yeah. They had that. Obviously, Chelsea have got Joe Shields now. He was at Southampton, wasn't he? So that might strengthen that rumour that he does. And Chelsea, you know, we've seen the way they're starting to eat up any young talent coming along with the signings that they've made. So while, you know, it probably was slightly wider than the mark that they went for him with a £50 million offer, I'm not going to rule it out completely because I think it probably is one that they've got on their radar.
It's a difficult one though, because like obviously, you know, in the summer they signed Chukwuemeka and Cesare Casadei. You know, they were like, 15, £18 million each. It's still a hell of a lot for a teenager, but it's a different ballpark to what it would take to get Lavia now out of Southampton. Totally different ballpark. So if you're buying Lavia in the summer, you're basically spending enough to make it so that you have to make him like a first team piece. Yeah. Now, there's change of foot in Chelsea's midfield, obviously, with Kante's contract expiring and a 4-month injury. Jorginho, we don't know. there's all sorts to change there. Maybe Lavia is the pick, and maybe it's not just Chelsea in this hunt, or maybe he gets to complete more than one season at Southampton and grow a little bit more. I don't know, but either way, things are really looking up for him.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting. Obviously, City will have that option, but with Rodri in there and him, well, I would say probably being the best number six in the world right now, maybe Joshua Kimmich would have a word about that, but definitely in the conversation. And then Calvin Phillips coming in from Leeds United for a big fee last summer. The pathway seems a little bit blocked there where it doesn't at definitely. Chelsea, and that might work in their favour.
Definitely. And obviously with the decision Lavia has already made speaks to his willingness to go and take a bit of a leap to go and play football. You know, he's left City's EDS side and has joined Southampton. You know, he's taken a bit of a risk and a bit of a leap. So playing time is clearly on his mind. So I'd be surprised if he then sort of bottlenecked himself back up at the club he left in order to play. But yeah,
fair enough. All right, let's go to number four, shall we?
Right, number four is Xavi Simons at PSV Eindhoven. He is someone that we recently spotlighted on our Patreon show. Another plug for that. And I've tried to keep this list as fresh as possible for those of you that listen on Fridays as well. But there is a little bit of overlap, and it comes in the form of Simons. I think I remember on the spotlight, I was marvelling at his full name, and I still am marvelling at it. Xavier Quentin Shea Simons. Unbelievable Lovely. Stuff. It's a top three name in world football.
So good.
He joined PSV, for those that don't know, this summer from PSG. I first kind of saw him. I mean, I'd seen clips of him in the youth league for PSG, but first actual proper live viewing of him came in the Champions League qualifier earlier this season, where he came off the bench against Rangers and was just immediately at the heart of absolutely everything. You know, ducking, weaving, playmaking, dropping the shoulder, ball manipulation, deceptive movements. Incredible stuff, really. A great technician. There's like 20 minutes there off the bench that make you think, okay, need to watch that dude. And he's basically used that as a platform. We haven't checked in on him since, but he's used it as a platform. Just absolutely star in the Eredivisie. We're all making so much of Cody Hakpo's 9 goals, 9 assists in 11 starts. There's a guy that's 4 years younger than Hakpo in his first ever senior season on 8 goals and 3 assists in 11. And that's Xavi Simons. Now, the hype train is getting, I don't know if I'm complicit in this, but it's threatening to overtake his ability a little bit. There's definitely room to grow for him. He needs to bulk up, I think, for sure. But this kid is flying, absolutely flying. And at least one ingredient of this sort of golden boy concoction is a bit of hype. And Xavi Simons has that behind him. It also helps that he's swatting everyone aside in the Eredivisie.
Yeah, I mean, it's a name that's been on the radar for a while, right? He obviously came through and was someone that the people were talking about in a big way, and both at Barcelona and then at PSG. Didn't really live up. That's harsh, isn't it? But yeah. I was going to say that's really unfair. But I think maybe not living up to the hype is actually the wrong phrase. It was a bit unclear as to what position he played, because he started out as a deep line midfielder, like his namesake. Then he played up front a bit for PSG. Now he's moved to PSV and he seems to be playing a sort of more kind of hybrid 10 role. And it's very interesting to see that development as to where he kind of lands as much as anything. And so that's, I think, what the key ingredient here has been with Xavi Simons, is actually working out exactly where he plays and exactly, therefore, how he fits into teams. And PSV have done a brilliant job of this, and Ruud Nistelrooy deserves some credit here, because he's found a role for him and then given him the belief and the platform to shine, and he's taken it with both hands so far.
100%, yeah, 100%. I mean, look, we're even at the point now where Xavi Simons is getting World Cup squad shouts. Maybe not the full 26, but at least preliminary. Like people want to see the Netherlands take him as like a bit of a you know, an off the bench kind of X factor, a bit of a game changer. That's how strong the hype is right now. But that's also how strong his stock is. That's what he's showing everybody in the Netherlands. It's what he's shown in the Champions League. It's what he's shown given any opportunity to take to the pitch. Now, obviously, this comes as a result of maybe like Gini Wijnaldum, you know, breaking his leg, and that there needing to be a bit of luck for a potential pathway. I don't know if he's going to go. I'd probably say he probably won't go. But the fact that he's even being talked up in this sense shows you how he's ramping up into 2023, and I think potentially how special it could be for him.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. He is in that big 55-man preliminary squad, isn't he? But it's, I would also be surprised if he ended up in the final 26. But Louis van Gaal has done strange things in the past. So I'm maybe there's hope there as well.
Maybe.
Should we move on to number three then?
Okay, number three, and this player will either be, I've put him at three, bang in the middle. Some people will say too low, some people will say too high. Depends on how much faith you have in his body to recover. But we got some really awesome news yesterday on Monday. We're recording on the Tuesday. Florian Wirtz took part in full training for Bayer Leverkusen for the first time since he tore his ACL earlier this year, which is absolutely fantastic. Really, really good. He's done a bit of like physical and recovery sessions over the into last week. So they've been threatening to put him into training and they've finally done it. Again, the timing of this World Cup, it jars a little bit for him in terms of getting back, because I think Leverkusen have four league games left before the break, which means if you're just trying to make sure he comes back in full nick, then maybe you don't rush him into a scenario where he has to play before the World Cup. So unfortunately for Florian Wirtz, he's coming back in. He's probably going to feel right up to speed probably November the 20th, which is unfortunately when the World Cup kicks off and the Eredivisie goes on a two-month break. And he's going to have to circle January 22nd in his calendar instead, which is Leverkusen's first league game or first game of 2023. But by then, you know, barring any unforeseen circumstances, he'll be firing. He'll be ready. He'll be just as ready as anybody else. It's the longest preseason in history and a real thirst to go and show everybody that actually he's still one of the very best youngsters in the game. So I really hope he can immediately restake that claim. But talk about setting yourself up for the 2023 Golden Boy Award. You literally return in January, ready, fresh, raring to go. And you're Florian Wirtz. We all know how good he can be.
Yeah, it's, I mean, obviously he's in the provisional squad. Again, another one. Is he going to go? I don't think so. But I think just considering how good he was, you know, until that ACL injury, it does feel like they might just gamble on him. And look, Leverkusen have been dreadful this season, let's be honest about it. And Xabi Alonso has come in. He improved things straight away with that win over Schalke. Then they fell to a couple of quite horrible chastising defeats. They drew this weekend and they are sorely missing him. And this is a team stacked full of talent, right? And you're still going, they miss Wirtz so much, which is an incredible thing to be saying about a player so young. But equally, you're looking at this and going, right, if Germany needs some creativity in the latter stages of this tournament and they have him there, you know, training in full kind of work, and they can give him those kind of soft minutes towards the end of the group games, could he be fit and firing by the time that they get to the knockout stages? Maybe. Yeah. This is my big question. I have a funny feeling Hansi Flick takes him. I really do. I've got a feeling that he takes Florian Wirtz to the World Cup.
I've got a feeling that only happens if Marco Reus is also injured, who we haven't seen much recently and I haven't seen much news on him either. So we'll have to see. But in the time that Wirtz has been out, Musiala has just gone like super cyan.
Yeah.
That's the main problem for him here. But really, like, getting involved in that Germany squad would be a huge bonus for him. Just to see him back training with Leverkusen and just to know that he's going to be able to play for them at the start of 2023 and put together a full second half of the season. That's really good news. And we know that he's brilliant. We know he's a wonderful creative player. We know his decision making and his, like, the cool head he has on those shoulders is incredible for one so young. It's something that Leverkusen sorely need at times, isn't it? A cool head in attack to make the right pass, make the right call. The pass selection needs to be spot on. You know, we need that. We need to see that from Leverkusen. He's productive. He's exciting. He gets to go and link up with Schick and Diaby again. Great stuff. And he'll definitely be in this conversation. Definitely. I didn't really know where to rank him because he hasn't played for like six months, seven months. And it's like either whichever way you put it, it's like a massive gamble on how well he returns and how quickly he finds his sharpness. And no one really knows how it's going to go, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
The Germany thing is a shame, and really it's so to come back now would like it is obviously unlikely, but it's a shame because it would be the perfect time to go into that Germany setup, like on the back of two rubbish tournaments. expectations are pretty low, even though the team are definitely better now than they were in both those tournaments. And it would have been ideal to have somebody like that come in at a time when anything was a bonus, and he would 100% lift the morale and the creativity and the, you know, just slowly through a tournament, you could imagine somebody like him just starting to play a bigger and bigger role. So yeah, it's probably come too late. That's a shame.
A little thought there is just like, with the 20, do you need 26 men? For, I know it's an expanded squad. Do you actually need them? Because if Hansi Flick were to decide that he didn't need 26 men, he could bring Wirtz just basically to tune him up and train him up, because the last thing Florian Wirtz needs now is an extended Christmas break. Yeah. He needs to train, yeah. He needs to play. He doesn't need a month and a half off. He's just had 6 or 7. The ideal scenario for him would be to train with Germany, even if he never gets to play a minute in the World Cup, because he just needs that.
You'd be a bit mugged off, though, if like he went purely for that and you were like the 27th man.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. I'm actually just reading. In Bild, they said that Wirtz is optimistic about being included in the squad. And as you say, even if he doesn't play, Flick is considering calling him up if he's fit enough to be just around the squad. So suddenly, that turns what we've just said.
I mean, look at the numbers from last year, right? Obviously, we can't look at anything from this season, but he got 10 goals and 14 assists in 30 games for Bayer Leverkusen across the Bundesliga and the Europa League. That is just absolutely incredible numbers for someone of this age. His production levels are through the roof. And so if you have that ability kicking around, he also can play about 4 different positions, which is useful. If you have that ability and that versatility in a World Cup squad, and you know that he's going to kind of move in and be at kind of full kick by the time that you get through a group stage, I just think he's going. I think he's going.
Okay. All right. Nice. There you go. Well, he's going to be on this top 20 shortlist of the Golden Boys next year. That's for sure.
That is, yeah.
You can all agree
unless
on that.
Unless he gets
one.
Injured again, touch wood. He doesn't. It'd be very upsetting if he did. No, I love Florian Wirtz. All right. Let's move onward, shall we?
Okay. On to number 2, Alex Balde at Barcelona.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Probably the player I just feel happiest for in world football right now across the board, genuinely. I always smile when I see him on the team sheet. I smile when I see him play. And I smile even more when I see him play well, which is every time he goes to the pitch, because finally he is a regular in this Barcelona team. And it's something that we've been calling for on this pod since, I want to say, pre-season 2021.
Yeah,
is about right. It's been a long time coming. Ronald Koeman was in charge when we basically clocked onto the fact that he was clearly good enough to play for this team. But Koeman was obviously very cautious with him. Xavi was initially as well. But he's now in this team. He's playing quite regularly, or very regularly. And with Jordi Alba kind of like on the bench more often than not, and Marcos Alonso in and out, Balde's here. And the timing on this one feels pretty sweet as well, because he's just put in what is surely his best performance of the season against Athletic in a 4-0 win. He was really, really good. And not only that, he's had to do an emergency job at right back a couple of times this season, and he's done pretty well out of that one as well. 9 La Liga starts out of a possible 11. Just really happy for him. Like, we were worried that, you know, Marcos Alonso was going to steal his minutes and all this, and he was going to struggle for it. He's just put his best foot forward and just shown that he's still one of the best around here. So I want to sort of harp back to something that Dean said last week for this one, and not to take away from Balde's quality, which is undoubted. But Dean was right in that he basically said that with the Copa trophy and also with the Ballon d'Or, it really helps if you play for Barcelona or Real Madrid. Like, it's very, very helpful. And Balde is probably going to play a really meaningful role for Barcelona across 2023 as they fight for a title in La Liga and they fight for some form of cup success, to be determined exactly what that is. And so I think he's absolutely going to be on this top 20 next year. And the question is, how high will he feature? And that, how high can a left back feature? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how strong the Barcelona narrative is against the defender, because that's kind of how this thing tends to go. But what we're seeing from him at the moment from the left back role is really, really impressive.
Yeah, 100%. And this is it. You know, when you have Barcelona fans now kind of wildly and wide-rangingly calling for his inclusion as the first choice left back, you know that you're doing something right. And it is, you know, all of these things, all these elements to his game that you're like, okay, if you are moving on from Jordi Alba, who's been such a wonderful servant for Barcelona, let's be honest, and has just started to maybe lose a yard. I think he's struggled with losing that connection with Lionel Messi as well. Their connection was pretty sublime for some years. But you're kind of going, right, the time has come for the switch. Then something good is happening here. And that's the key, right? He's still so young. He's still got so many years ahead of him. And we're looking at a player who they're going, right, this is our best left back now. They've brought in Marcos Alonso's experience, as you said, Sam, over the summer. And we were worried about that, as you mentioned. But ultimately, he's kind of gone, no, it's okay. I don't really mind that you've brought in these players because I know that I'm better than them. And that's a huge statement to make early doors for a player of this age. And so I'm completely with you. I think this is really good. I did worry that you had Verts a little bit low in this ranking, but I think Alex Balde is someone that can genuinely be put in ahead of him. So I think this is a good shout, and I really like it. He is going to be, I think, Barcelona's comfortable starting left back by the time that the system or the other leagues come back in January. He's already staking that claim, but there is still a little bit of rotation going on, but that might well be due to the scheduling of things at the moment. But I think it's quite clear that he is Barcelona's best left back at the moment, and that is pretty stunning, and a turnaround that is a little bit overdue. I think we've seen this for a while. He is such a wonderful, well-rounded footballer. Yes, he's still a little bit raw, but he brings so much to this side. And ultimately, I think this is pretty fair for Balde.
Yeah, he's a brilliant footballer. Technically, very, very good. Close control, brilliant. Dribbling in tight spaces and ability to progress the ball by dribbling forward out of deeper areas. Really strong. When he's in trouble and when he might lose the ball, he tends to draw a foul. So he doesn't really lose the ball that often. And the way he can kind of run inwards as well as go around the outside and use his speed is really, really impressive as well. So, like, there's a lot to like there. I think the passing's a bit loose sometimes still, and the delivery can be improved. He was really bad, actually, with his passing from right back, but I'm just not going to hold that against him. Like, all the angles are completely different, and he is very left-footed, so it is what it is. But his rise ultimately just means that Barcelona are not going to have to worry about buying a left back for some time, which can only be a positive given we've got so many other issues. And, as with every other club in the world, there is a limited amount of money to use on it. So tick off left back with Balde from the academy. Perfect. Ideal.
I mean, yeah, Fonzie definitely. Davis came second, didn't he? Or was kind of widely noted to have come second the year that Erling Haaland won it. In 2020, so there is precedent for left backs doing well, but he had just won the Champions League.
He just won the treble. He didn't even win it.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe Balde isn't going to win this award, but I think there's definitely precedent for him being in the mix.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
All right, let's do number one then. Who's topping it?
Number one is Youssoufa Moukoko at Borussia Dortmund.
Ooh, nice.
Absolutely. I mean, look, when I see him play well, I smile. When I see him on the team sheet, I smile. Because over the last couple of years, he's a player that has had me a little bit worried at times. I'm not going to lie. The way he broke onto the scene before his 16th birthday, the regulation changes in the Bundesliga that allowed him to make his debut one day after turning 16, the regulation changes that allowed him to train with the first team at 15. That's the hype, the YouTube reels. You're just looking at all that, and like, for one so, so young and so, so inexperienced, it goes one way or the other, doesn't it? One way or the other, and it can go really badly. But credit to Moukoko taking it all in his stride. Credit to Dortmund, who seem to have managed him really well.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like, a massive part of it. Under several managers as well, they seem to have managed him really well.
They do. I mean, Dortmund, it's a great place for young players to play. And, you know, this is just a continuation of that. But I think this is a particularly tricky task, given the headlines surrounding a 15-year-old kid. And they've done brilliantly with him. And here he is, 1 month before his 18th birthday. So he's still ridiculously young. And he is breaking out in a really, really healthy way. We're all very accustomed to him, but he's not been forced into the spotlight as a player that Dortmund depend on immediately. He's just someone that comes in and out. They enjoy him when he's there. They understand when he's not. He's not integral, but he is always a very bright light, and he is awesome. Like, he's so electric when he plays. The runs he makes, the separation he gets off defenders, the speed, the variety of his finishes, the power in his shots. and the variety of different goals he's already scoring. So impressive. And I think some of that comes from the fact that he doesn't feel like he's depended on. He feels like he can come in and out. He's not overplayed. He's not overexposed. He adds his value in spurts. He's still finding his feet. But genuinely, heading into 2023, we're already at the point now where it's like, well, he's clearly amazing. You really do need him on the pitch when it counts. He got the nod in the big game against Bayern Munich and was excellent. They might not be able to hold him back for much longer, but that's okay, because I think he might genuinely be ready for this now. It's not premature. And 2023 could be his year. And, you know, the 2020, what, Erling Haaland wins it, Dortmund striker, Mokoko, maybe. He's in the right setting, plays the right position. It's possible.
Yeah, he's played about 50% of Dortmund's minutes across the course of this season, which feels about right, doesn't it? He's been kind of used a little bit less in the Champions League. He's been used about half of the time in the Bundesliga and given pretty much free rein in the DFB Pokal, which feels about right. Yeah, yep. It feels about the kind of moments you're looking at and thinking, yeah, that's probably about right for a player of this age. But we often talk about, you know, rings in the legs, Sam, and, you know, how a player's age kind of relates to it. And we're usually talking about this at the other end of the spectrum, right? We're talking about the fact that a player comes in very young and by 29, they're kind of played the minutes of your average 34-year-old. But in this regard, in terms of maturity and experience, he's been drip fed through for 2 years already. Now, yes, that was at a very young age, but even though he's a 17-year-old, he's probably profiling more like a 20-year-old at this point, because he's been given their 2 years of sort of a little bit sprinkles of minutes here and there, under 21s football in quite a big way, and then exposure to the first team and those first team environments. Yes, he's very, very young, but actually he's probably more mature than that in footballing terms.
Yeah, well, I mean, if Mokoko profiles like a 20-year-old, what does Jude Bellingham profile as, Jack?
We're not here to talk about he's just so wonderful.
Yeah, Bellingham's been described as the oldest 19-year-old in history, well, which is probably fair.
Mokoko might be overtaking him for that title by next year, so we'll see.
I mean, Mokoko's going to be on this list. He might genuinely win it. I think he's got the potential to win Golden Boy next year, which is why I've put him at number one. And if he doesn't win it next year, well, he can try again in 2024 and 2025 when he's still eligible.
He's still eligible. Yeah, totally. Look, Liverpool being linked with him quite a bit in recent days. I don't know if that's just the Klopp thing and an obvious place for him to go. I mean, you wouldn't suggest really that he'd be the answer to what Liverpool are looking for right now as they transition to try and stay in the hunt as title candidates. But it's, you know, does he need that kind of pressure? Like, surely Dortmund is ideal for where he is right now. And, like, there's probably, for me anyway, a stepping stone in between those if he's going to go anywhere else or he just stays at Dortmund, surely. Because joining Liverpool at 17, 18 doesn't seem that wise.
I was going to ask you how kind of much we can buy into this, because it's been very widely reported. Now, whether it's just as a kind of, oh, Liverpool are interested in Jude Bellingham, which we've had for quite some time now. And they're just like, oh, and Mokoko, because he's good. And he is good. They'd be absolutely right in terms of those things. But is it just them going, well, if we're going to raid Dortmund for one young, very, very talented player, maybe we should just raid them for two? It feels a little bit like a bolt-on. And that was the worry for me with it.
Maybe. I mean, I'm pretty sure Jude Bellingham's going to Real Madrid, so I don't think he's going to end up at Liverpool anyway. But yeah,
Mikoko, that, by the way, is terrifying for everybody else. The fact that they're going to have Bellingham, Camavinga, Tchouaméni and Valverde in that side alongside around, Vinicius and Rodrigo. It's genuinely like one of those you're looking at going, oh, well, they're going to win everything forever then.
They'll probably get to the summer and they'll buy Bellingham and Endrick and be like, right, okay, we'll all just give up then, shall we, the rest of us?
Yeah. Man United are going to need a striker in January, maybe. maybe just get the new guy.
Oh, no.
No, we don't want to be sending any Golden Boys to Manchester United right now, I'm afraid. The pressure is just a little bit too high for me. I was tweeting about this about João Félix earlier on in the day that I don't like that move at all for a player who's going to be thrown under that kind of pressure and intense scrutiny off the back of a couple of seasons. I would say exactly the same for a 17-year-old coming from Dortmund. I would not want to be throwing them into the cauldron at Old Trafford just as things are starting to look on the up and people are looking for new heroes. It's a lot of pressure to be put on young shoulders.
Yeah, do you want some honourable mentions before we close off?
Of course I do.
Because there was a good little list here actually I put together, and like one that Barcelona fans will be delighted that Alex Balde features so highly, but they will be asking, well, Ansu Fati still will be technically eligible for this.
Ansu Fati was in the 20.
Was he? Okay, well then, there you go. I haven't messed up. Lovely stuff. But Fati could win it next year. He could, but it's just one of those like, physically, where are you? And I need to be shown it. There's a couple more as well. What have I got here? Nico Williams at Athletic. Harvey Elliott didn't make the top 20 this year, but Fabio Carvalho did. I guess that's probably more reflective of Carvalho's Fulham campaign.
Which is mad because you have to be playing in the top tier, right, to actually be eligible for the Golden Boy. But if the best minutes he's got here are in the tier below, that seems like he's circumvented the rules a tad.
It doesn't make much sense, but there you go. So I'd pop Elliott in there as like, if Carvalho can make it, then Elliott can make it. Keep an eye on, you know, the minutes that Hugo Ekitike ends up playing for PSG, you know, maybe in the fallout of Mbappe, but just in general, as he's coaxed along and the games pile up, like if you're playing up front and you're scoring goals for PSG, even on a bi-weekly basis, you'll probably end up in this list. And if Ryan Cherki ever gets to play ever again, then he probably will make this list. Yeah. And a big shout out to Jeremy Pino as well, who I think will still be eligible.
Oh, yeah. I like Jeremy Pino a lot. Luke Harris, obviously, probably going to be in the conversation as well. The latest starlet off the Motspur Park production line. La Motspur, as it started to be known in South West London. Definitely, Sam. I think they are a good selection of names. And I think we've covered a relatively broad church there as well. So very, very good. Right, after the break, we've got Melon of the Week and the Gibberish Rankings. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Ranks FC. It's time for our third and final segment. It's time for everybody's favourite part of the week. Over to you, Dean.
It's time for Melon of the Week. This week's Melon of the Week is Cardiff City's Callum Robinson.
Whee!
What a melon. So, for those that haven't seen this on social media or just don't know, he was shown a red card in one of the biggest rivalries really in the world. I mean, Cardiff and Swansea probably doesn't catch the attention in other parts of Europe or America or wherever else, but trust me, these two hate each other.
It's hostile, isn't it?
It's a big one.
After 7 minutes, he like pushed the ball. He was angry at Swansea defender Ben Cabango, and he kind of punches him with the ball, I'd say, that's how I'd describe it. Like he gets the ball and he just shoves it in his face.
He hits him with the ball.
Hits him with the ball. It's funny, but it's ridiculous.
And he hits him in the face with the ball. It is so funny.
It is, but not if you're a Cardiff fan, because you're bang up for a game like that. You suffer a red card after 7 minutes, you're in big trouble. And yeah, they lost 2-0 Cardiff. The team ratings I looked at from the local media just to see what he might have got out of 10. Here it is. Callum Robinson, 1. Sent off in the 7th minute in a derby for throwing a ball at an opposition player. It wasn't really a throw, was it? Unacceptable, idiotic, petulant. Should have known better. He's such an experienced player. He ruined the match after Cardiff had started so well. No excuse.
Yeah, they could have added melon in there, couldn't they? To be honest, Cardiff had a couple of contenders, didn't they? Because I don't know if you've seen the highlights of this game, but another player who plays for Cardiff City, Cedric Kiepra, tried to get himself sent off about 10 minutes later, which is genuinely incredible considering they were down to 10 men already. The ball comes in for a cross and he Superman dives and punches the ball out of the box. Now, the referee and the linesman somehow missed this. It is genuinely unbelievable how they managed to oversee this. He just jumps with his hand in the air and punches the ball out of the box. He would have been off. They would have been down to 9 and Swansea should have got a penalty. So you can add him into the mix and probably the officials for failing to spot that in the game, to be honest, because that is one of those moments you're going, the reaction from the Swansea players is absolutely unbelievable. They're like, surely, surely you've seen that. And the ref's like, nah. And they're all like surrounding him, being like, nah, like, mate, are you taking the mic? Like, this is absolutely genuinely hilarious. But I think justice was served in that Swansea victory after that wasn't given. But yeah, Kiepra, with his team already down to 10, completely losing his head. He would have been up there for Mellon. If he had been sent off, arguably it's even worse.
Yeah, probably is. Well, that's a bad day at the office, isn't it, for Cardiff?
Yeah, not a good day to be a blue bird. Right. That is, of course, the gibberish alarm. Sam, what have you got for us this week?
Yeah, so it's not a ranking this week, but it is a load of rubbish, I promise you that. I'm going to talk to you about the last three times that I went swimming.
Right.
So obviously, you know, I'm a big swimmer now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, massive. Well, you are a really big swimmer. You're about 6 foot. What are you, 6 foot five?
6 foot four.
We call him Ian Thorpe around the office now.
I cut a very imposing figure as I'm cutting through the waves. But yeah, I've taken up a bit of swimming.
Where are you swimming?
The Thames.
It's a wave machine.
Latchmere.
I've taken up a bit of swimming. It's good for your back, as my chiropractor keeps telling me. So as a 6 foot four man where all surfaces are too low for me, it comes a point in your life where you have to start taking care of yourself, and swimming is my salvation. So last three times I've tried to go swimming have been total disasters, one after the other, and I'm starting to think that I'm cursed, because Monday, October 24, yesterday as we record, I booked a lane on the app, as you have to do at my leisure centre. Don't really get that, but fair enough. Booked a lane, 2 p.m, turned up at 1:50, walked through, no problem. No, it's just there weren't very many people around. That's a bit odd. Usually it's quite busy at this time. Okay, fine, no worries. In the zone, off to do some lengths. Got changed, put all my stuff in the locker, walk to the edge of the pool. I'm in my shorts and my goggles and my feet are literally wet. I look around. I am the only person in the entire facility. And I don't just mean there's not a single lifeguard, teacher, there is no one in there. Obviously, I figured out at this point something has gone wrong. So I'm sort of stood there for like 10 seconds, like, I don't know what's going on. A lifeguard rounds the corner, sprints up to me, going, no, you can't go in. I was like, my dude, I had figured that out. Like, it's clearly something is wrong. And he just comes up and goes, look, I'm really sorry, but someone's vomited in the pool, and we've done the pool test and it's failed. So we're going to have to shut it for the day while it kind of, you know, filters through or whatever. They have to rechlorinate it. I said, okay, yeah, no worries. Not, you know, I'm not going to be difficult about it. That's fair enough. I mean, I am literally stood here in my swim shorts. I was hoping to go swimming.
But I'll go to the pub instead. Fine.
Okay. I'll walk off. What I did manage to do, though, I rose above it. I was really tempted to tell him that he wasn't allowed to run poolside, because, you know, I thought, don't be a dick, Sam. Don't be a dick. But I really did want to get my own back on the lifeguard. So yesterday I tried, but I did not manage to get a swim in. Sad times. Let's wind it back to last week, Wednesday, October the 19th. Lane booked for 2 p.m. I turn up at 2:05.
Mate, you've got to stop booking lanes at 2 p.m. I can see where the trouble is starting here.
Yeah. Agreed. I've booked one today for 3. I'm learning. But lane booked for 2, turn up at 2:05. There's already a guy in my lane. That's fine. You know, obviously you have to share. It's fine. As I sort of walk towards the shallow end of the pool, he swims up to the shallow end of the pool and he says hello as I get in. And he says, is it okay if we swim parallel? And I'm on complete autopilot, did not expect to have to speak to anybody. And went, yeah, fine, whatever. And then a couple of seconds later, I was like, wait, what does that mean? Swim parallel. What does that actually mean? So I didn't stop. I stopped. I just waited and I just watched him swim. He swims up the right side of the lane. And then rather than turn at the top and do like an anti-clockwise pattern, which is pretty standard, he just reverses and swims back down the same side of the lane. Backstroke. Well, not backstroke. It was like a backwards doggy paddle. And swam all the way back down. So he wants to swim in that one side, one half of the lane, up and down, up and down. He doesn't want to do the anti-clockwise movement. Right.
Why?
So I was like, I don't know, mate. But I was like, right, okay, fine, I get it. Anyway, I watched him a bit more and I did understand why. He does a breaststroke forwards, 25 meters, touches the end, and then backwards pedals the other way. His neck never moved. He never turned. his neck. It was like being controlled by a PS1 controller on a
D-pad. Was he really old? Was he an old man?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There was no flexibility.
I'm just imagining him in my head and he's old, yeah.
Hey, he wasn't wearing goggles. He was wearing his glasses the entire time. He literally did a 30-minute swim in spectacles and his head didn't go in the water once. He went up, down, up, down, up, down, never turned, forward, back, and got out.
Amazing.
And left after half an hour. I could not believe
could
it.
Could you
I was
not
really
just
confused.
Gone in like another lane?
I'd booked the fast lane.
No, I know, but I would have probably been like, I'm just going to go in the medium lane.
Why is this geezer in the fast lane?
I don't know, mate. He wasn't fast at all.
He just realised the eagles.
To be fair, yeah. he never stopped, to his credit. There's two elements here that decide which lane you should go on. First of all is your speed, but second of all is how many brakes you have to take.
Right.
So they ask you to go in the higher lanes if you never really have to stop. And the man never stopped. 30 straight minutes, forward, back, forward, back, forward, back. Head never went underwater. Half an hour, I'm off. Aye.
Did you have to adjust your stroke? Like, because you're quite big, right? Like, if you're swimming alongside someone, I imagine your breaststroke would really, you know, start to kick out at people.
100%, yeah. And there was a point as well where the lane next to me, there was also a dude coming up to my left and I was swimming along the side of the guy to the right. So it was three of us in almost like, it's like three lanes in a motorway. It was, and I was the lorry. It was really, really tough. I basically had to slow down so I didn't just kick everyone as I went past. But yeah.
You wouldn't want to be doing times. Butterfly, would you? You'd be absolutely murdering people.
Yeah, what a shame I wasn't able to do butterfly that day. Nothing to do with my inability to do it.
Love a fly. Yeah. Right, anyway, go on then. On to the day before.
No, it's not the day before. It's the week before, the previous Wednesday. Okay. This was a 3 p.m.er. So I booked the lane 3 p.m. I turn up. Someone's already in it. Again, fine. But they're swimming a loop the wrong way. They're going clockwise, not anti-clockwise. And I know it's bad, but this really bothered me. Like, really bothered me. And I got in and I was furious about it. And I remained furious for the next 20 minutes as I, rather than confronted the guy about it who was already swimming, just followed suit. And I absolutely hated it. And I remember swimming along thinking, this is shit. I hate this. I really hate this. This is rubbish. I want to get out. And I was miserable, absolutely miserable for like 20 minutes. And the big problem was that just as I got used to it, just as I finally adapted, I'm going to call her an older woman, an elderly lady, got in the pool in the lane to the left. And I don't know if there are any old ladies out there listening, you know, that go swimming regularly.
We've got loads of those listeners.
Yeah, that's
a demographic we hit quite a lot, actually, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So to all you Janices and Beatrices out there and Agathas, I just, you may not know this, but if you put approximately one bottle's worth of perfume on you and then go swimming, it pollutes the water and it is absolutely disgusting. So just as I had adopted this clockwise strategy, which was bothering me, I basically choked underwater on a bottle's worth of perfume that had come off this woman. And you know what? I got to the end. I just got out. I just left. I drove straight to McDonald's. Hi. Yeah, as many cheeseburgers as you can make in 5 minutes. It's been a terrible, terrible day.
Oh, my
absolutely
day.
Awful.
Right. Pool hygiene, ladies and gentlemen. Have a shower before you get in the pool. Come on. Basics. Basics.
Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine the smell of the perfume as well.
It's because underwater, you can taste it.
Yeah,
it's really bad. Oh, jeez.
Not good.
So I'm going swimming this afternoon. We just hope it can get better. Surely it can only
get
better.
I'm glad it's going. No, it's going all right, isn't it?
Honestly, yes. if you have a bad one today, can you put it in? Can you send it to us as a voice note and I'll stick it in at the end of the episode?
Yeah, if it's hang a bad around. One today, sure.
Okay.
But it'll post-cop.
I'm pretty confident the storm's passed. I'm pretty confident in a good swim this time.
Very good. All right. Well, yeah, it can't keep three bad things come in threes, don't they? So therefore you should be clear by this point. All right. On that bombshell, I think it's probably time to call this a day. And all that's left for me to do is say thank you very much to Dean Jones, our 5x5 champion king, the Andals and the First Men. And of course, our transfer guru. Cheers, DJ.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you very much. The rank god, Mr. Sam Tai, our third choice Norwegian Basque goalkeeper and head of dispatch. It's been a real pleasure.
Oh, lovely, mate. Nice one.
Yeah, I've got good at these now. I've been Jack Collins, Knave of Hearts. Thank you so much for listening as ever. We'll be back next week here on Ranks FC. Cheers. Take it easy, gang. Peace.
Gotta walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer practice, then there goes the extra time for a jog. That's okay. Maybe next week.
When everyone else relies on you, it's easy to put your needs last. Therapy is a dedicated time to focus on what you need to be happy, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. BetterHelp offers convenient online therapy on your schedule. It's the same professional service you'd get from an in-person therapist, but with the option to communicate when and how you want, by chat, phone, or video call. Go to their site and fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find more balance with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.